The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
One day closer to football season. We're at 16 days away. Mm-hmm. It's not raining. I'm trying to think of other things, too. My dog didn't use the bathroom in my apartment this morning, so there's a win. So, I'm doing pretty good. It's going great.
We'll appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I think we're all having a great morning
so far.
You
say that with a tone and an indication as though the dog has violated that rule or policy in previous days.
Yes, he has.
And there goes the deposit.
Yeah, well, exactly. The deposit went way away about a week in. But no, he's got this complex where he's afraid of literally everything. And when it was raining outside for the past few days, he's afraid of rain. So he doesn't want to go out and use the bathroom. So he just uses it in my apartment. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's his apartment too, right?
Yeah, it is his apartment, but, you know, if he wanted to be a real good dog, he could find a way to learn to use the toilet, if that's the case. If he's going to do something like that, it'd be appreciated. So, but, yeah, we're going through a phase right now. You know, it's the terrible twos, if you want to call it that, that we're having to work through. So, see, I can't talk about my wife and my kids like you can, Tommy. All I can talk about is my dog,
and
that's the struggle I go through.
Some days it's a lot easier for you, trust me.
I'll take it all day long, man. So we're gonna have
yesterday it was school pickup day on day one. I promised the kids day one I would, you know, I'd come pick them. It was raining, and you know, so it was just a madhouse, and nobody knows where to go, what to do. There are people literally parking their vehicles in the middle of the city street and just leaving them.
That seems safe.
And just blocking I mean, it was just, you know, the nut house over there. So, anyway, hopefully pickup will improve. I'm glad that I have a wonderful wife that takes care of that most days. It has to improve. So, that is just nuts.
That seems like something that you would get very frustrated at. Because we've talked about this. You get really frustrated when you have to, like, wait in line for anything.
Me?
Yes, you.
Why would you say something like that?
Because it's absolutely 110% true. You've talked about it, and you've talked about if you have to be at a restaurant and you have to sit there and wait, or if you have to go to a restaurant that's nice and you have to wait in line, oh, it'll be only 30 minutes before you get sat. You won't have it.
Another restaurant.
Yeah, you won't have it.
No. I just tell them I'm John Neighbors, and I get a table immediately.
Mm. You know, you say that, and I think it's the complete opposite effect. I've name-dropped you all over this town, and it usually gets me some good things, for the most part. Sometimes I've gotten kicked out pretty quickly, too, so...
Right out back by the dumpster.
Hey, I got to take them when I can get them, man. That's all I got to do. I'm going to keep name dropping until I get my own name in this town, and then maybe it'll be worth something. So, but yeah, I'm glad you made it through though in the child pickup. That's quite a feat.
It'll get better.
Yeah, well, it can't get worse. That's for sure.
But at least my dog's not peeing in the floor.
Yep, you have that victory that you can go through. And Tommy, here's the thing: it's not pee. So it even goes worse than that. It's the other way around, but anyway, maybe he'll learn his lesson. Maybe he'll grow up.
Number two.
Yes, exactly. Which is so much more fun to clean up. But yeah, so that's my first world problem that I have going on in my life now. So
what a treat to wake up to!
I tell you, it's great. 4:30 in the morning.
What a great way to start your day.
Yeah, I love it. Nothing better than that. So, but we do have a loaded show for you, folks. Of course, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will be joining us around 7:30 this morning. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette also will be joining us around 8:00. Talk a lot of recruiting today, as it is a recruiting Thursday. And we're going to break all that down. And, you know, that's kind of where I wanted to start, Tommy, on this recruiting Thursday. Every coach that has come through Arkansas, at least since the recruiting rankings or the recruiting sites have been able to take grades and take stars and all of that, Arkansas hasn't gotten a lot of 5 stars, but each coach has found a way to get one, just one, 5-star. Brett Bielema was able to get Sosa Aguin. Bobby Petrino was able to get Darius Winston. Now, I know that didn't pan out, but he got Darius Winston. Yeah, if you want to throw Ryan Mallett in there, maybe, but those were the two there. Houston Nutt was able to get Darren McFadden, who was a 5-star. So even though Arkansas has really never had a plethora of five stars come through their school, every single coach was able to at least get one. And if you look at the positions, it's kind of funny because the defensive line is where Bielma got his five-star with Sosa. Bobby Petrino got a cornerback in his five-star, and Houston Nutt got a running back, which is a five-star. So if you had to make your bet and throw your case out there, Chad Morse, what position will his first five-star commitment be?
And, you know, that's a really good question. And you probably want to look on the horizon in the state of Arkansas. And I think it's going to be, wouldn't you say it'd probably be very difficult to go outside of the borders of our state and get a lot of five stars or get a five star? I mean, I know you mentioned Alex Collins, but most of the time you're going to have a chance at that high profile of a player that gets that five star tag. The other two you mentioned were from where?
Arkansas.
So, you know, it's going to be difficult. See, I mean, it's hard to say what position or where unless you kind of look ahead and see who has a chance of getting that five-star label that's a native of our state.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you also throw into
I'm sorry to interrupt there, but what five-star at any position? I mean, if it's a five-star left guard or a five-star quarterback or a five-star receiver or a five-star linebacker, you're going to take him no matter what position, right?
Well, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to, especially if he's in-state. But the thing is when you bring that up and how a lot of those five-stars were in-state, which I agree with, there has been some five-stars that have been in-state that didn't go to Arkansas, you know, that moved on. If you think about a guy like a Michael Dyer, a very talented running back, went on to Auburn instead.
In some ways, I mean, he played in the national championship game, but he was a mess off the field.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, so there's examples of that. So it's not every single time that a five-star comes through Arkansas that immediately goes to Arkansas, but there has been a lot of cases where they have. So, yeah, I guess I'm looking at it from the phase of, okay, yeah, if he's an in-state player, that means something more, and that may be a different discussion. But when you're just looking at a position that Chad Morse will be able to sell a five-star on his team, a position where he can walk into that kid's living room where Nick Saban just visited and Gus Malzahn and Jimbo Fisher, whoever.
Yeah.
You walk in there as Chad Morris in Arkansas, you say, okay, here's my plan for you. This is why your position, your skill set, your skill level will work with my school and what my philosophy is over these other schools.
Well,
that's the position I'm looking at.
Running back and wide receiver. I mean, he's been very clear. He wants to be a two-back run-oriented offense. And you say, why not quarterback? Well, I mean, perhaps, but I think the features of this offense are going – I mean, the quarterback's obviously, you know, the key to a lot of things, but unless you get that special dual-threat guy that can do so many things, and those are rare that can operate at that high a level to be a, you know, a true five-star player – running, you know, a five-star running back or a five-star wide receiver in an offense like Chad Morse is going to be featured in the SEC West. So I would think it would be a real, you know, I don't say there's no easy sales in this league, but, you know, he could really adapt an offense around a running back or a wide receiver. Perhaps you could even say tight end, but it's hard to adapt an offense around a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But running back or wide receiver would be my first two things out of my mouth.
Yeah, I would say running back was probably the position I'm leaning towards just because of the reasons you said. And I think it's a lot of it's just going to be of how Chad Morris this year or next year or wherever is able to showcase that position in a particular way. Because, I mean, you can't just walk into a kid's living room right now and say, hey, you're going to be featured, where it's like, okay, well, I haven't seen you coach a game in Arkansas yet, so I don't know how you're going to feature the running back. I don't know what type of role he's going to play. And so once they're able to actually see that, and if you have a situation where we kind of alluded to yesterday, saying what if Arkansas is able to get 2,000-yard rushers this season, which I know is a lot to ask, but say if they did something like that, then these five-star running backs may look at that and say, oh, he can feature me pretty good. We want to do that. But some running backs may say, well, I don't want to split carries. I don't want to have another guy out there splitting carries with me. So it's just a matter of, you know, their viewpoint, what they look for. But, yeah, running back I'd have to lean towards. And I know that you have John Chavis and that defensive staff on the other side of the ball, and that's not necessarily Chad Morris's MO, his defense. But, I mean, could you maybe see a five-star committing to John Chavis or Steve Caldwell or one of these guys? I mean, I know I could.
Sure. I mean, and where would it likely be if it came from, say, the state of Arkansas, where I think you're if you get one, you're 75% likely to get it from the state.
Mm-hmm.
Probably another player like Sosa Aguim.
Yeah.
A very talented line player, whether it's an end or a tackle, but someone along the defensive line. You know, so that would be my guess if you got one on defense. So I don't think we got a long history of five-star in-state linebackers.
No. And that was actually what I was going to bring up, too, is it's like you think that they've gotten five-star defensive linemen. They got a five-star defensive back, five-star quarterback, five-star running back. Almost got five-star receivers. They've had a lot of great receivers. I guess you could technically say Sean Andrews was a five-star offensive lineman because, I mean, he was highly recruited. He's about as close as you can get. I don't know if the rankings were down back then. So where's the linebackers? Where's those five-star linebackers? Arkansas hasn't had a plethora of those. Yeah. So maybe something will change there.
And here's along the lines of this conversation, what's the real difference between a real quality bona fide four-star and a five-star? I mean, five stars, there's what, about 20 or so of those in the country when you look
roughly
at a lot of the ratings. I mean, it's an elite status. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, and that's why there's only a handful of these on a national level. I think most of the time I think I'm pretty right on that, around 20 to 25 five-star labels in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, but how much difference really is there between a really good four-star and a five-star player? I mean, obviously, there's a reason that kid got a five-star rating, so there is some difference, but would you take 2 4-stars over 1 5-star? I think I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it would depend, but how I've always viewed it is the difference between a 5-star and a 4-star is that a 5-star comes in immediately as a freshman and makes an impact.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-star might be able to, but also might not. It's kind of, you know, it's like, that's how I've always viewed it. I'm not saying that's the know-all answer, but when I hear of a 5-star player, that's like a guy that's like, no, he has to start pretty much immediately once he steps foot on campus.
A Jadeveon Clowney kind of player. That's probably the best example, particularly on the defensive side of an all-world. I mean, if you want to, what's the definition of a 5-star player? Jadeveon Clowney coming out of high school was a 5-star.
He was a 6-star player.
Exactly. And he was going to start, you know, game one, day one, every game he was on camp, he was going to, you know, that's the kind of impact. And he is, you know, at the very top of the list. He's one of those top 2 or 3 players in the country. But, you know, I think this program, it's nice to get 5 stars and all that, but you're only going to get 1 or 2 or 3 of those every 3 or 4 or 5 seasons. It's just the way it is because of the recruiting grounds you have. The success is going to come to, can you really up the number of 4 stars you can get under your tent? And that's what I've been impressed with so far is, obviously, we're looking at a potential record number of 4 stars in one class for 2019.
Yeah, he's been putting in the work, so next step might be a 5-star. I'm not saying this in this class,
but maybe
in next year's class, the class after that. Only time will tell.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Good morning, Richard. How you doing this morning, man?
Hey, guys. Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great. And we can just start with a little recruiting update from you. I know it's always going on. It seemed like there for every single day I was having to start the show and talking about a new Arkansas Razorback football commit. Kind of slowed down a little bit, but doesn't mean that they've stopped recruiting. Just kind of give us an update on what we're looking at and what's all been going on with the Razorback football team for the 2019 class.
Well, the latest commitment was Monte Spivey, running back from Alabama. Really good size and good speed. Guy that Arkansas has really liked from day one. He committed last week, and he's number 18. They're standing almost full for the 2019 class. Coach Morris has indicated they'll probably sign 22 or so. And, you know, I always look at that number as a moving target because a lot of things can happen. Kids can obviously leave, and a lot of things can happen during the season. So, you know, you can sign 25, but who knows what will happen. I remember a few years ago they were going to sign about 13 or 14, and they ended up signing about 23. So, like I said, right now it looks like 22, but that number can move.
So maybe four or five more. Do you think with what's going on with the offensive line, there might be an emphasis or a push in these last four or five slots to sign a few more offensive linemen just because there are so many issues along the offensive line and build some depth there?
Absolutely. They're definitely looking at the junior college ranks. They got a couple of guys that from junior college, Tim Anderson, a kid from California that's planning to make an official visit for the Alabama game, and another junior college kid in Pennsylvania that's coming in for an official visit at some point. So they're definitely looking for immediate help and immediate depth, and usually look at the junior college ranks for some for that. And don't discount a high school kid like Melvin McBride. He's a kid at Whitehaven High School in Memphis. Yeah, that's very high in Arkansas. Plans to make an official visit to Arkansas. And one other kid not to forget, Drew Vest, who had an outstanding camp back in June. He's from Searcy, 6'6", about 290 pounds. Arkansas is going to be evaluating him early in the season. And I wouldn't be shocked if he plays well early part of this year that he could get an offer too.
Speaking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the show. Richard, so we had a little fun segment this morning and talking about how every previous coach at Arkansas essentially has gotten at least one five-star at some point in time. You had, of course, Brett Bielema was able to get Sosa Agim. You had Bobby Petrino, who was able to get a Darius Winston. Houston Nutt, who got a Darren McFadden. And they were at different positions, and obviously being in the state of Arkansas also helps. But if you're looking into the future with Chad Morris and the recruiting efforts that he's had, and you have one position that you believe Chad Morris will be able to convince and nail down a five-star player, which position do you think it'll be first?
You know, you tend to think maybe receiver or maybe quarterback, but at the same time, a lot of times, there may be a guy that you least expect, in another position that could jump on board. The staff does an excellent job of staying in contact with kids and showing them a lot of love, and that's what you got to do to the kids today. And they definitely do that via social media too. So you would tend to think a receiver or quarterback or some offensive position, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? I mean, you may get your first one this year with Hudson Henry. I mean, I don't know necessarily he's rated a five star just yet, but he could be elevated, and he might be the first one in the first year, second year of as far as second recruiting class, Coach Morris.
Let's shift gears and talk a little basketball recruiting. There's been a lot going on, summer winding down. I know Mike Anderson's been very active on the recruiting trail. Just give us a little summary of some of the things that happened out in Vegas and where Arkansas stands on a few of the basketball recruits that are on their radar.
Yeah, they were definitely very active in Vegas. The last live period was the last late in July. A few guys to keep an eye on: Will Baker. I think he's somewhat of a long shot, but I know that they're working hard on him. He's a center from Westlake High School in Austin, Texas. 7 foot, 240 pounds, very skilled big man. Definitely one of the top prospects in the country. Wrote about him and a couple other guys in Tuesday's column. C.J. Walker, I think he's going to announce on Friday. He's a forward from Florida. 40-plus offers, I think he's going to announce. He's narrowing down his list probably on Friday. I think Arkansas will make that list. I think he of the three kids that I'm going to be talking about, I think he's the most the best possibility. And then Kai Jones, he's kind of like a power forward, center kid from a prep school in New Hampshire, about 6'10", about 190 pounds, needs to add some weight, but a very defensive-minded kid who has some skills on offense. But all three of those guys are guys to keep an eye on going forward.
Richard, you also have Recruiting Thursday going on tonight at 7 p.m. at radio stations all across this state. What's it going to be looking like? What's the lineup looking like? Just give us an overview of the show tonight.
We'll have four commitments on. Colin Clay, defensive end from Oklahoma. Eric Gregory, defensive end from IMGA, along with his teammate, Shamar Nash, along with Zach Zemos. And then a 2020 defensive lineman from Alabama, Eric Taylor, who's got offers from just about everybody in the country. Same school as Joseph Stone attended at one time in Alabama, who's committed to Arkansas. So that's four commitments and one guy that they definitely would like to see jump on board at some time.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can also catch him on Recruiting Thursday tonight at 7 p.m. on radio stations across the state. Always appreciate you joining us, Richard, man. Great stuff, and we'll catch up with you next Thursday, my man.
Sounds good, John. Take care, guys.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Tommy, when we've been talking about recruiting, I've always wished I could know what it was like to be recruited, to be wanted, be sought after. Somebody to
be a five-star yourself.
To be a five-star. Someone come into my house. Somebody with the prestigiousness of Nick Saban, somebody like that, making millions of dollars, saying, you know what? If I want to continue to make millions of dollars, I need you part of my team.
Well, that's kind of what I said when Ruskin left, and I, you know, took you to out to a, you know, nice, you know, dinner at the buffet restaurant, and you know, the Chinese buffet restaurant, and ask if you want to come to work here. Didn't you feel that way when you were highly recruited to be on the Morning Rush?
Totally.
I mean, it was a $7.95 Chinese buffet, John. I mean, come on.
And he even let me get a soda instead of just going with water. I mean, that's when I knew. That's when I knew this was not just a run of the mill. This ain't my old crapperware. No. This was real. Jeez. Of course. So yes, I guess I have felt recruited before as a five star. So there you go. Yeah. Thank you for that, Tommy.
And no, how quickly you forget.
I know. I'm telling you, it seems like just yesterday. but no, recruiting's fun. Well, at least not.
I mean, they had a soft serve ice cream machine. I mean, you had two bowls of vanilla. I mean, it was great.
So well, you know us millennials, it's never good enough. It's never good enough for us millennials. We're spoiled. We always want more.
I got an upgrade. I got to go to Arts. You recruited me at Arts. So,
true. I don't know. Well, I guess you're just liked more than I am. I don't know.
I guess.
We can sit here and compare recruiting trips at a different time. It's now time for the on-the-spot question of the day presented by Washington Regional.
Yeah, they're committed to providing stroke care that aligns with the latest research-based treatment guidelines. Studies show that patients recover better when these guidelines are consistently followed, and Washington Regional is proud to be recognized by the American Heart Association for achievement in the Get with the Guidelines and Target Stroke Quality programs. It's just one more way Washington Regional is working to improve health care for you and your family. Learn more at WRegional.com.
And the on-the-spot question of the day, although it's not technically a question, I guess, per se, but if you want to do it in the match game way, in 4 years, Chad Morris will be blank. Tommy, we talked a little bit about it earlier in the show, and I forgot exactly how you worded your answer, but in 4 years, Chad Morris will be what?
A 9-game winner.
Simple as that.
Simple. And I think that's kind of my expectation, and that's where I think you really need to be by your fourth season, is back to get this program back, because it's been a drought of nine win season. So I think that's the mark. 8 wins isn't enough. Every 3 or 4 years, you need to have at least a 9-win year. That means you got at least 5 wins in the SEC and took care of your non-conference schedule. So a 9-game winner is how I'm going to fill in the blank, Gene.
Yeah. Feels like a match game scenario here. Got to have the music playing in the background. Let's go to the phone line. Yeah, that's right. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got Robert in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Yesterday I was listening to Paul Feinbaum, and he was with a guy from ESPN who covered LSU, and he did in the years, and they were discussing games. And this is how irrelevant Arkansas is. They were going over SEC games. Arkansas was not mentioned one time about playing LSU, even to lose to. And I'm thinking, has the program fallen off that far to where we're not even relevant to talk about when you play us?
So, and what you mean, just because you're not talking about Arkansas in the SEC?
Well, what I'm getting at is they went over the schedule, not game by game, but they went over the SEC game, and the rider, they went from Alabama straight to A&M. Arkansas was not discussed in any way, and I'm thinking, like, I guess because I'm just a disgruntled fan because I want us to be better, but we weren't even relevant enough to talk about getting beat by LSU. And I'm just asking y'all, did the program fall off that bad to where we can't even be talked about?
Well, I mean, I think in any time you have a team that's been terrible, which Arkansas has been, at least in last year, and appreciate the phone call, Robert, yeah, you're not going to get talked about. I mean, I don't think that's anything new. It's just that's how it is. I mean, Vanderbilt's probably feels the same way. They're not that great of a program, that great of the team, but they don't get talked about a lot, especially in SEC matchups. You got to earn that right. You got to earn that respect, because I'm telling you right now, folks, people, you talked about so soon to forget. People forget that when Bobby Petrino had it going at Arkansas in 2010 and 2011, Arkansas got talked about a lot. And matchups got talked about a lot. And with Alabama, got talked about a lot. In fact, I always point back to the fact it was after the 2010 season, and they were going through the car wash there at ESPN. They kept having two coaches on each from the SEC to sit next to each other and talk to each other. Guess who they had on together to break down the SEC, the very first matchup, the very first matchup of coaches? Bobby Petrino and Nick Saban. It's because that's the respect that they had. That's how Arkansas was viewed, and that was because they're really good. And so when you're really good, yep, stop traffic, you'll get talked about a lot. I think that's what it comes down to.
Now you got to earn it.
Yeah.
And when you don't win, when you're as when you've won as few games as Arkansas has won in the SEC over the last 6 years, you put yourself down in the conversation, I guess is the nicest way to put it.
Yeah.
But you get back to where, you know, you're winning 20 games in two seasons, like Bobby Petrino had it at 21 wins in 2 years. You're going to be back at the top of the conversation because you're feared and respected. Let's just be honest. Arkansas right now is not feared and respected in this league. There was a day they were. And we're counting on Chad Morris to get you back to that point.
Yeah. And if he does, guess what? They'll be talked about a lot. But just about earning that respect back. And once you earn it, you can keep it as long as you continue to be good. But no, Arkansas is a program right now that's not looked upon favorably.
The only way to do it is to win.
Going 4-8 and 1-7 in the previous season's a quick way to not be looked upon with favor. So, yeah, no, it'll all change. But going back to our original question of the day, we're talking about in 4 years, Chad Morris will be what?
Here you go. Get you the appropriate music.
I'm going to try to figure out, do you have that on your phone on go? Is that where you've been having it?
I am just that good.
Oh, okay, you're just
watch
that
this.
Good.
I'll stop it, and I'll start again. See, I'm that good. Boy.
I tell you, you're just on the spot right here. On the spot question of the day, on the spot Tommy. But in 4 years, I believe Chad Morris will be one of the best coaches in the SEC West. And what I mean by that, in a more simplistic way, is that when they look at the coaches in the SEC West and they're going down the list, I think Nick Saban, of course, will still be number one because Nick Saban will still be at Alabama, still kicking everyone's tail in, still doing the things that he's doing. So it's a matter of, okay, who's going to be second, third, or fourth? I believe that Chad Morris will be better than any coach that is currently with their team right now, and that includes, Tommy, Gus Malzahn. I think Chad Morris will be overtaking Gus Malzahn, since they're very similar in philosophies, very similar in culture, very similar in how they were brought up in the college football game. I think Chad Morris will end up being a better version of Gus Malzahn. Now, could part of that just be in the fact that Chad Morris is at a place like Arkansas and he doesn't have the pressures and have the problems of having going up against Alabama and Georgia every single year as your rivals? Probably a little bit. But I do believe that Chad Morris, not only in his styles, but in his coaching hires, his philosophy, his energy, what he brings to the table, and the fact that he was around a big-time program in Clemson and knows what it takes to recruit to a place like Arkansas, when it all gets going, I think that in 4 years, you're going to see Chad Morris as being not only one of the better coaches in the SEC, but maybe one of even the better up-and-coming coaches in college football, which may be a problem for Arkansas if they want to keep him around for a long time.
You got a lot of hope. You got a lot of optimism that it's going to come together and come together relatively quickly.
I mean,
4 years from where you've been the last six to do that kind of turnaround in the next 3 to 4 years would be a relatively quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm not saying that he's going to be able to repeat maybe what Bobby Petrino did, saying, oh, in year three, he's going to go to the Sugar Bowl. I'm not going to go to that craziness. But I do believe, like you said, getting to a 9-win season, I think that he could probably have 9-win seasons, maybe a 9 and a 10-win seasons. something like that. And then when he's looked at and people are saying, wow, how is he doing that at Arkansas? How is he able to get those types of players to Arkansas? He's going to be looked at a similar, maybe in a better case of what Dan Mullen was looked at, of saying, oh, well, if he just wasn't at Arkansas, if he was at a big-time program, then he would be able to do win national championships. Now, that won't be a fair comparison, but I do believe that's how people will look at him. They'll look at him as being that elite-level coach where if he was at a bigger program like Bama or LSU or Georgia or USC or wherever, then he would be able to up his game a lot. And that's just going to be able to cause some problems too for Arkansas if they want to keep Chad Morris around.
That'd be a great scenario right there.
Yeah. It would make people
what
excited.
What you want is to be fighting for your coach to stay because he's been so successful, others want him.
Yeah. And now the key is going to be can Arkansas keep him around?
Well, the key is can you be that successful?
Well, yeah. Once you get to that point, yes. Yeah. That is absolutely. So. There you have it.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.